Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick Radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope on this cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D. How?
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is Wednesday, February 26, 2014. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. Well, I'm back. I took last week off, and I'm glad I took last week off, well, you know, for the reason of pretty much I didn't have a lot to talk about last week. I was in a horrible mood, and the week only got worse after that, so it wasn't like a wasn't like it got any better because I took the show off or anything like that. But the fact that I had so little to talk about, and it allowed me to rile myself up on a few topics a little bit more and get a little more, you know, mindset for what I wanted to do. And, you know, I think I could do a much better job of that this week. That's for one. Two, I fucked up completely, though. What I did was, last week, a little bit of behind the Yakuza, but this fucking shit costs $100 a month, as I've said before. I had pretty much almost no money in my account. I had enough for this shit, and rather than the week before, what happened was I had little over $100 in my account, and I knew this shit was going to come out. They give you like 3 days. They tried, I don't know if this is interesting at all, but I'm just going to go through it anyway. They give you 3 days. Like, they'll try to charge your shit if the money's not there. They'll try to charge your shit again if the money's not there. And then they'll try to charge your shit again, and then if the money's not there, they cut your service off. So I had that leading up to the 2 weeks ago show. And I moved the money, you know, I got a check-ins and a savings account, and the way I have my bank account set up. So I moved the shit over to the savings account so that I wouldn't take my motherfucking money. So I moved like $60 there. There wasn't $100 for them to take. So I knew, boom, that was it. So I did the show on Wednesday, Thursday, service cut off, whatever, no problem. Because I knew I wasn't doing the show till next fucking Wednesday, right? So that happened. Thursday, now I got the money in the account. So with it cut off, you got to manually go in there and reactivate the motherfucker, whatever. And my stupid ass did that shit on like fucking probably Monday or something like that. I'm like, what even possessed me to do it? I don't know. I just figured, let me get this going and stuff. And I really should have waited till I knew for sure I was doing the show. And fucking Wednesday, fuck it. You can cut it on immediately. So I should have did that. I didn't. I fucking put it through. I wound up with $1.70-something in my motherfucking bank account and had to scrape by with fucking, you know, not doing a motherfucking thing or buying shit and didn't do a show. So I didn't even need to fucking spend the money. And then since then, you know, I've had the money to do it. And, you know, so anyway, I put myself in a fucking hole for no fucking reason when I could have just, you know, did it the following week. So anyway, there's that. Following that, I didn't do the show. I was in, you know, fucked up mood, just, you know, a bunch of shit going on, work, home, just wasn't in the fucking mood, and wasn't really watching a lot of wrestling, didn't have a lot of reason to, you know, talk about it. So anyway, the fucking next morning, I wake up to go to work, we go to start the fucking truck, this shit is making crazy motherfucking noise, and I don't know shit about cars. So we drive the shit back to the dealership over there. We got this thing in October, we got, you know, the Ford Explorer. '02, and get it over there. As soon as the dude fucking hears this shit, he's like, turn that shit off. Oh, shit, that motor is shot. You can't drive this shit at all. Oh, man. And initially, they're all like, yeah, don't, you know, the owner wasn't there or anything like that, but the dudes talking, they were like, yeah, you know, oh, you know, you got it in October, so I'm sure it's under warranty, this and this. Everything's good. So we're like, oh, fuck, man. So get a ride wherever we got to go. Leave the truck there. Don't hear shit. Next day, ain't really hearing shit. Like, we got to call them to even get anything. Finally, get in touch with these motherfuckers, and they're more or less like, yeah, we haven't looked at it yet. But, yeah, we looked into the warranty, and that shit ain't covered because it was covered 6 months or 7,500 miles, and you were just a little over 8,000. So we're like, oh, fuck. So still right now, since then we had the shit towed back to the house, we're probably going to need a new motherfucking engine or whatever the fuck. So it's going to cost me a couple grand on top of having to pay the $4,000 for the truck to begin with and just a bunch of bullshit, you know what I mean? So been completely fucked with that. And like I said, the week just got fucking worse because it went from just, hey, you know, not in a really good mood to fucking vehicle situation that, you know, now you got to get rides to work and all of it. Just complete bullshit. So anyway, but, you know, things have, you know, turned a little bit in the positive direction. Of course, you know, truck's still fucked up, so that is what it is. But, you know, I, you know, tax money came and shit. So, you know, that's always a fun time of the year. Definitely, you know, much more comfortable time of the year. So it's easier to, you know, just function as a whole. So, yeah, I guess I'm just going to just run through the whole fucking all about me section in the beginning of the show. So then I'm just, like, fucking still frustrated like crazy. I'm like, fucking, I want to go to the gym. Can't go to the fucking gym. That's how I usually burn off my, you know, my energy. Whatever else is going on in my head, I could just face it towards something physical. And that's, you know, it always benefits me. In the past, you know, I face that type of stuff towards substance, you know, the alcohol and stuff. And, you know, obviously still completely sober and, you know, doing my thing with that. And I could just face everything towards physicality, which has really, really helped me a lot. And I'm just fucking super excited to continue to do it that way. And you just turn it in that direction, just trying to be as my positivity is, as I've said in the past, is way different than that of like a Drake Younger. And I, you know, all the props in the world to that dude, but I'm just not that type of dude. You know what I mean? Like, my positivity still involved saying fuck this motherfucker and that motherfucker. It's just, I don't know, it's just in me. I've always had that in me. I could be the happiest dude in the world or be in the happiest mood in the world, and I'm going to still have some negative shit in my mind. So there's only so much positivity you could squeeze out of me. But, you know, everything considered, I'm in a pretty positive fucking mood now. And anyway, so I, you know, the one day I went in, I did like 400 push-ups that day and shit. That was my workout that day. Sunday, it was, you know, beautiful out. Went out, you know, raked half the backyard, which is, you know, about the equivalent of about 15, 16, like, big, giant leaf bags. Not bagged yet, but completely clean. That whole side of the yard is, like, crisp. Shit's looking right. And, you know, just really, you know, put myself in a mindset, like, all right, spring's almost here. It feels like this, you know, this is what I like. I like to be able to go outside and not feel like, fuck this shit. You know what I mean? I like the summer. If people complain about the heat all fucking day, I'll take the heat any day of the week over this dumb cold shit. So I can't stand it. But out there, it was just beautiful. Just doing work out there. You know, I have a whole big pile of wood logs and shit. Moved all the logs, raked, you know, behind and underneath that shit. Moved all the logs back. Moved all the concrete block around my my fire pit. You know, raked under that. Moved those back. So, you know, doing some lifting, moving stuff too. You know, walked up to Walmart, loaded up backpack. That was before that, but, you know, loaded up with whatever I had, walked back. Walmart's about a mile and a half from my house. And then later on that night, which I didn't even see coming, this shit was not in my plans, but I realized we really needed cat litter. I was like, fuck. So I walked to Walmart and walked back with two 25-pound boxes of fucking cat litter. And that shit was intense, man. Like that, I guess they call that the farmer's walk if you do the, you know, if you're holding weights in each hand and walking. They call it like a farmer's walk or whatever. And, dude, that shit was intense. My fucking shoulders and back and neck muscles and shit was burning all the way home. Walk about, you know, mile and a half with 25 pounds in each hand, man. That shit was fucking serious shit. I don't know. Maybe motherfuckers is doing that shit with, you know, 50 pounds. I don't normally walk a mile and a half of weights in my hand, so that shit to me was intense. I don't know. So I actually got a workout out of some shit that I ain't even planning on doing. So I, you know, ended up happy with that, you know, as an after effect. And, yeah, it was just nice. You know, went out, you know, burned a little fire outside that night. Just nice. Just really, really enjoyed Sunday. And then, of course, you get down to this weekend.
Motherfuck you, motherfucker. I said it's cold outside.
Fucking bullshit, man. Right back to the cold. Go outside. Fuck this. You know, Sunday I even had the ducks swimming in their little pool and shit. Man, this shit is retarded, you know? So I couldn't stand this shit. Now we're back, you know, with this type of thing. But, yeah, anyway, it's still on the up and up, you know, and doing what I can with that. Let me see. What else? I got a bunch of shit to talk about, and honestly, only so much wrestling. I don't have a whole shitload of wrestling to talk about, but I do, well, not, I can't even say that, because I have a bunch of shoots and stuff to talk about. Not so much wrestling shows, I should say. Actual wrestling, not so much, but wrestlers, you know, a little bit to talk about with those guys. Watched a bunch of shoots. I watched the Pinky Sanchez shoot, which I thought was absolutely horrific. It was just, it's hard to actually describe exactly why it was horrible, but I'll do my best. It's just like you'd ask Pinky about something, you know, hey, you know, well, what'd you feel about, you know, CZW in this time and this, that. And his response, like, would be like, yo, things were good, but, you know, a lot of bullshit, a lot of backstage, this and that. Oh, a lot of politics, this and that. And normally in a shoot, it's like, well, this happened, and then, you know, this guy said this, and then that's what took this turn, or this guy fucked me out of that, or this was a really good match with this. And none of that was really like that. It was like the most non-specific bullshit possible. And then, like, and at a lot of points, just, like, super ass-kissing. Like, I mean, you don't have to go out of your way to bury anybody in a shoot to, for it to be good. Me, personally, I like details. I like details of a match. Like, I think Hero does great shoots, or Hero doesn't really bury people. I think Hero does great shoots because he'll go into, oh, you know, when we did this match, and, you know, we went for the Rana over here, you know, just detailed shit that you wouldn't know, and you might even go back, and honestly, that's the right way to do it, because you might go back and say, hey, man, I remember that match. Dude, let me go back and look at that spot that he was talking about, and it might sell a DVD. It might make someone go back and watch something. So many times people wrestle matches and do this type of thing, and that shit is just gone forever. Like, it's people don't go back to it, you know what I mean? It's just, it's done, it's gone, and what you did, and on to the next. I mean, a lot of wrestling is, what have you done for me today? You know, people forget about shit that was done in the past. They forget about, you know, whatever catalog of work you had. There's a lot of that shit. So I think it's a good callback to some of the stuff you've done, by giving a little bit of details. And you don't have to completely expose the business, as they say. But again, you know, cut the shit with a kayfabe. I mean, you're talking to grown men like they're fucking children. And, oh, okay, well, just believe when he does this, this is what it's supposed to mean. And you just wait and wait and wait. And then that guy's a, you know, and then you can go to Chikara route. And like, that guy's an ant, and that's what ants do. And it's just like, I'm fucking 35 years old, almost 36 years old. I'm not playing fucking make-believe with you motherfuckers. Like, I want to see good fucking athleticism. I want to see, you know, hard-hitting shit. I want to see, you know, high-impact action. That's just, you know, what I'm into, you know, the type of shit I'm interested in. But, you know, everybody has their own, you know, own likings. But, like I said, if you give a little bit of an insight to the things that went on, it's interesting. That's, you know, of course, you know, people burying people is always interesting and always entertaining in shoots. So a lot of times that's what sells shoots, and a lot of times people go that way. Whether it's right or not, hey, man, that's on you and the dude you're talking about. I don't, you know, that's why I don't, you know, I don't try to bait people to, you know, shoot on people. If they're going to, great. You know, if there's something I've heard about, maybe ask about it, but it's not really, I don't know. It's just not me to just do it like that. But yeah, so the Finky shoot, and then you'd have him say shit like, oh, yeah, I liked him because, you know, dudes would just, he'd just say, hey, what's up? And he'd slap my hand and say, yo, Pinky, what's going on? And I could just see it, and it's like, that was real. That was real. And, like, that's his story about, like, oh, I like that dude because he would slap my hand and say, hey, Pinky. What the fuck? Why? Who the fuck pays for this shit? And then, like, he tells one story where he's like, I was traveling with a Chikara student at the time. I ain't going to say his name. But initially, you know, the dude was green as grass. And then we traveled all over the place. We trained here. We trained there. We trained at the Ace joint. We trained at the Chikara joint. And the dude was just like a sponge, and he picked everything up so fast, and, you know, and I loved traveling with that dude, and it was just a really good experience, and this, but I won't say who it is. And I'm like, what the fuck is the point of that shit then? You're not burying a dude other than saying, you know, he was green initially. Everybody's fucking green initially. You say he's green initially, but then go on to say how the dude soaked everything up like a sponge and got better and better, and how you love training and traveling with this dude, but then you don't tell who the fuck it is. That story is worth dick to me, because you're not, what the fuck is that? Like, yeah, I traveled with a guy once and it was good. Another time I traveled with a guy and it wasn't. Okay, good. Should I hit pause? Fucking, because I don't want to miss nothing when I, you know, go to the bathroom real quick. With your compelling fucking stories about question mark guy, fuck out of here. That it was just retarded that way. It just completely retarded. And then I didn't clip it, but I should have. Maybe I'll clip it next week or something. But they did a whole thing where, you know, he started shooting on DJ, and he's like, I'm not trying to bury DJ, but then, like, she goes into, like, you fucking DJ, like, stop being a dick, man. Like, fucking stop being a dick. And then he goes, like, well, I'm not trying to bury him, but, like, I think, like, he'd be a bad parent. I think he would, like, abuse his children. But I'm not, like, I'm not trying to bury him. And it's like, dude, you just said he'd fucking abuse his children. What the fuck you mean you're not trying to bury him? It was the most retarded thing ever. Normally, like, I'm highly entertained by people, you know, burying DJ and stuff like that. Just because, hey, man, you know, a lot of people do. And it's funny because there's a lot of back and forth with that. And I have quite a treat for you I'll play in a little while. And that is the what I turned into a back and forth between Eddie Kingston and DJ Hyde. And I think everybody will enjoy that. I spent a little time on it, put it together, and yeah, I think it's going to be pretty enjoyable. I like it. But anyway, Pinkies, it was just fucking weird. It was like nothing specific. Kind of buried DJ, but in a way that, like, I couldn't even side with him with it. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't sound like he had legitimate heat or anything. I don't even want to say it that way. He didn't even sound like he had any legitimate gripe that you can go, you know, he's right, man. DJ did him wrong. It's just like, he more or less had the opinion, like, DJ, you know, used to be, like, in the locker room and just like a wrestler, and now, like, you own the company, and it's like, you, like, can't just, like, be in charge now, man. It's like, no, he kind of can. I mean, and it wasn't, I might even made that sound clearer than he made it, because he literally said at one point, like, stop being a dick, man. Just like, that's not like a legitimate, like, oh, man, I had such problems with the way he handled this or the way he handled that. It's like, just cut it out, man. Stop being a dick. It's like, I don't know. He had everything nice in the world to say about Quack. So obviously there's kind of where the battle lines are drawn between a DJ and a Pinky Sanchez, because, you know, DJ could not hate Quack more. So yeah, it is what it is. I just thought it was garbage. I thought it was funny too that, Brett Lauderdale, as you know, they continuously have him conduct the interviews. I thought it was hilarious because as the internet has talked about many and many a times, there's no leak or reveal here. It's pretty well known on the internet that Pinky fucked Brett's baby mom. So it's funny that they don't, obviously they're not going to bring it up, but he just sits there and talks to him for 4 hours, like a 4 hour Pinky shoot where he's non-specific and just fucking. And another thing, a guy who went on the internet and's like, you guys are fucking marks. If you take pictures with other guys in the locker room, like, that's not fucking cool. That's not professional. You're acting like fucking marks. But then, like, Nick Gage comes up and he's like, Nick's fucking cool, man. He comes to my house. Like, he came to my house and, like, we just, like, watched a Giant game together. And it's like, it was real cool, man. Like, if that shit don't sound like a marked fucking statement, I don't, like, it's fucked up for you to take a picture in a locker room with a dude because you either, you know, haven't seen the motherfucker in a while and, you know, that's what you do, or it's maybe someone you looked up to on TV and now you get the chance to share a locker room, you know, take a picture. I don't see a big deal with it. You know, it's different than, like, the people, you know, on Facebook marking out about, you know, match, every single match. That's a different story. I get that. But the whole picture thing, I think that was blown out of proportion. And then for him to be like, yeah, fucking Nicky comes to my house and then we watched a Giant game and that was cool, man. It's just like cool, just hanging out. It's just like, that, to me, that sounds a whole lot less professional to throw on a shoot interview than a dude taking a fucking picture. That's just me, man. I don't know. So yeah, then I'll jump over to this other thing real quick because I don't, you know, have as much to talk about that. But let me, where the fuck is that? There it is. So I was watching, you know, another one of the Kevin Steen show.
I don't like that fat kid, though, the fucking Mr. Wrestler kid. I don't know. He went
oh,
to fucking
Kevin
ring.
Steen?
Yeah, I don't like Kevin Steen at all. Very bad attitude, very overrated.
So I was watching that with Davey Richards, and I don't know, man. I was really surprised to hear how, you know, humble Davey's become over the years. I mean, this was only a couple of years ago he did the thing. I think it was the one he did with Steen. And he was talking about, like, I enjoy blowing people up in the ring. And even said himself that I have a hard time, you know, separating reality from, you know, what we do here. Like, he gets too real with it and shit. So it's crazy, you know, from him to go from that to, like, going on to shoot and saying, like, came down to, you know, they were talking about Chris Dickinson, and you're saying, yeah, like, that dude's scary. Like, Steen is, you know, saying, oh, yeah, he's a head case and this and that, and he's, like, he's totally scary. And yeah, Davey said, yeah, like, he's a good dude and everything, but, yeah, but for sure he's fucking scary. So I was surprised to hear that. Not, you know, not to say that, like, Davey was bitching to him or anything like that. I don't even think it came off like that. But I do think, you know, going from a guy who thought it was too real and was trying to expose people in the ring and shit to saying, like, yeah, that's a scary motherfucker right there. Like, that's a big jump. And I think it's a positive, you know, jump, too. I also didn't know – I had heard, you know, about the fire – like, he was trying to be a fireman or whatever, and I didn't know he was so big into, like, the EM – oh, shit. He hated the EMT label, so it's actually paramedic, because that's two completely different things, apparently. I don't know the fucking difference, but, you know, one's a highly trained, schooled situation, which is what Davey does, and then EMT is just some jerk-off, which – I kind of identify with, you know, now that he said that too, because I've met a bunch of fucking EMTs and they're all jerk-offs. They're all dickheads that work at, like, shit jobs. And, like, I've actually had a bunch, you know, start at my job at one point or another. And, you know, starting level, it's not a good pay. So it's not like, you know, I'm just saying, like, pay-wise, as far as a shit job goes. But, you know, they would come in there and they'd tell whatever fucking stories, but then they'd act like they hate people, but then they're like, oh, I gotta go. I gotta, someone crashed somewhere. I gotta go. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And it's all, like, volunteer fucking unpaid bullshit where you speed off to accidents and, like, try to stabilize motherfuckers until the people who are getting paid show up. Like, it just seems like just jerk off work. But anyway, Davey was doing, like, the real shit where he's, like, fucking, you know, he was doing other shit where he's, like, picking bodies up, like, dude's got their fucking shot in the head, and he's pulling them off the road, and just tons of crazy, crazy shit that he talks about. So, yeah, I wasn't aware, like, how deep into that stuff he was, and that's where he was, you know, considering just quitting wrestling and doing that stuff. Yeah, it was pretty interesting there. It continuously boggles me why Kevin Steen has such a severe hard-on for fucking CZW. He finds, like, a way to bring it up, and he acts as if it's some kind of joke. Like, and he laughs and snickers about it as if, like, oh, CZW, yeah, it's so funny, oh. But, I mean, if you look back, CZW definitely put those dudes on the map. Not to say that they wouldn't have blown up somewhere else, but the Canadians as a whole got their big fucking exposure in CZW, and then everyone wanted to book them after that. You know, I mean, that the big four-way and shit, that kind of was a launching pad. And fucking Sexy Eddie, the, you know, Spider-Man blood thing fucking opened the door for them. So, and he knows that, but at the same token, he doesn't seem to give CZW as a company credit whatsoever. And also, if you look back in comparison, IWS and CZW were very, very similar, with CZW being the far more successful of the two. So as what was his home fed was kind of a Canadian knockoff fucking CZW. It was, you know,
they used the light tubes. They did the death matches. But they had guys who couldn't even hold a candle to the CZW guys who were doing it there. And then they had their wrestlers, and CZW had their wrestlers too. I mean, I get tired of, like, the consistent label of, since DJ took over, they also do wrestling. Like, don't get it fucked up. I mean, yeah, Trent Acid versus Homicide in CZW. You had fucking the Briscoe Brothers, the SATs. You had so much actual – you had Reckless Youth working. I mean, you had so much wrestling going on. It wasn't ever just death matches, ever. So to put this negative retard label on CZW when it has done so much and been such a launching pad for so many people, and, you know, and so many people within CZW, I just, you know, and Ring of Honor and everywhere else that have been launched by CZW, at least being, you know, somewhere for them to be showcased and stuff like that, I just find it, I don't think it's a good look for him to be so fucking snicker and laugh like, you know, like a schoolgirl every time those three letters come up. And it's like he goes out of his way to do it, and he just thinks it's like some kind of joke. Like, and I don't know. It bothers me a little bit because I don't see any reason for it. Whatever problems he has, you know, is whatever. But he just likes to downgrade the promotion as a whole. You know, 15 years they've been running. You can't say that for IWS. You can't say that for, you know, any of these other feds that are running. So, you know, I mean, I think it's worth something. And I think they put on a consistent, you know, not show-to-show consistent. I'm not, you know, saying that they never do anything wrong. I think March is going to be pretty wrong. I think, you know, over the years, if you compile their year to year, you could put, you know, best of compilations of each year, and you're going to come up with some pretty solid fucking DVDs. I don't think there's like an entire year where you couldn't put together a fucking stellar best of DVD. I really don't. I just don't think it's a good look. I mean, it's real nice to put yourself on a pedestal and just, I'm Ring of Honor, I'm Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. But, you know, when it comes down to it, dude, like, nobody else thinks so low of CZW. I don't want to say nobody else, but the majority of people don't think so low of CZW to not work there, and neither did you when it comes down to it. So it is what it is. And, you know, they didn't like you in that fucking fed, and you stuck around, and you know, you did what you had to get yourself over and then, you know, springboard someone else. Well, whether you liked them or not, that still was the venue where you, you know, you were showcased and kind of, you know, the interest was gained from you being there. So I don't know. I just think it's kind of disrespectful. But obviously, you know, when you're laughing at somebody, you don't worry about respecting them. And the other thing, obviously I went back to the Zandig thing, and, you know, one of my favorite clips I found out that I had to just, being I just mentioned Ring of Honor, all this place, just apropos of nothing, though. But
which is a hell of a fucking name, Ring of Honor, for some fucking pedophile who I seen on Channel 10, you fucking scumbag motherfucker.
it just cracks me up. You get so angry. That's that with the Kingston, not Kingston, the Kevin Steen stuff. Kingston. He goes on his shoot. He does, you know, classic Kingston stuff, shooting on people. And, you know, half of it's like a character-based type thing where he calls people faggots and this and that. And, I mean, he is just another one of those dudes that I have just a tremendous amount of entertainment out of his shoots. He's a great talker. Now, again, you know, whether he just randomly buries people in you know, gimmick-wise in order for it to be, you know, watchable or in order, not even watchable, but to sell more DVDs or just to do it or whatever the case is, I don't know. But I find him highly entertaining. And he's able to get into a lot of the details about things, too. he's super, super hard on, like, every match he's ever had. Like, everything's just okay to him. He can't even, like, accept anything that he does. There's got to be a point where he has to be proud of something he does, but he just refuses to show it. You know what I mean? Like, you watch him, everything's like, it's okay. Could have been better. Could have been better. Could have been better. Well, you know, there's a certain point where if you want it to be better, man, you bust your motherfucking ass and you make it better. I think the dude is solid. He's always been extremely entertaining in the ring, on the mic, all that stuff. But, I mean, I don't know what it is. You know, he's not as he's not really as open to exactly what his problem is about his work or what he's doing. I don't know if it's his physique, but if it bothers you that much that you're willing to pretty much downgrade every performance you have, then bust your fucking ass at your physique, man, so you can be proud of your work, because a lot of people enjoy it. And for you to continuously shit on your own work and say it could have been better, it could have been better on every match you ever do, well, then shit, come on, man. Why not want to be proud of your shit? If it's not that, if it's some kind of ring work, then fucking do the ring work. I mean, I don't know. Me as a fan, I enjoy a lot of it. So I can't say that I'm the one with the criticism. I'm just more or less criticizing his criticism of himself, if that makes any sense. But, yeah, I mean, the dude's entertaining. I would definitely recommend getting that one, not the Pinky Sanchez one. Dude's definitely, very, very good talker and entertaining and all that. Anyway, I'm going to play this now. This is my my masterpiece over here that I'm very proud of, and I think people should enjoy it. Now, you know, DJ was shooting on Kingston on his shoot interview, and Kingston was shooting on DJ on his interview. I decided to make it a banter between the two of them and give you a little back and forth between the two of them. This is about a 3.5-minute clip. Hope you enjoy it as much as I do. Check this shit out.
Eddie's like a brother to me. All right, I love Eddie Kingston.
DJ Hyde, fuck you.
I don't know what Eddie's fucking problem is.
Really, you gonna short me?
Shit went really bad.
If you're not gonna pay me the right amount, fuck you. You're a scumbag.
By the way, you break anything at the arena. If you don't know how Roger, who ran the arena and at the time, Roger's the cheap. You fuck up, you break a pencil, he's making you fucking pay for it. He bitches about everything money-wise, okay? So Eddie punched in a door.
Then I asked Roger at the time, who owned the arena, I said, do I owe you money for that door? He goes, the hole was like this big. He goes, you don't owe me nothing. I said, uh-huh.
Sabina took $25 out of his pay. $25 fucking, okay, out of his pay, because he punched in a fucking door. I did not know any of this shit happened. Okay, I'm in the back, like, trying to, like, me and Marvin are trying to come to terms. You know what I'm saying?
Then he tries to blame it on the woman who gives the money. This shows you how much of a fucking coward he is. Instead of saying, I did it, you know, I shortened you because. No, he goes, what's her name, Sabina? He goes, Sabina did it. And Sabina's walking out like, fuck you. She goes, you told me to do it because he broke the door.
As that's going on, Sabina told me she took the money out for the door. And I didn't know when I handed it to him, but she told me.
Yeah, then why the fuck would you try to stiff me on money, you dumb motherfucker?
Trust me, you break some shit, you'll know. All right.
If we were supposed to be friends, why'd you try to stiff me with money? I would have never thrown the money in your face if you didn't try to fucking stiff me. You stupid, ignorant piece of shit. That's all you are.
Shake my hand. You need me, because if I wasn't fucking here and CZW wasn't fucking here, you wouldn't have had a place to work.
Me, Joker, and Sabian fucking helped you in the beginning when you were wearing a fucking garbage bag as your fucking outfit. We fucking helped you.
Flat out. Stop being a fucking dick-sucking little motherfucking Mark son of a bitch, okay?
Standing there with your fucking $3 fucking suits like you running shit. Nigga, you ain't running nothing.
And Eddie, I'm talking to you out there and the fans, it shit offends me personally because I give a shit about you. It's not because I just want to talk shit on you. It's because I actually care.
You stupid motherfucker. People like you are the reason why fucking pro wrestling does any wrong. I don't give a fuck.
At this point, fuck you, Eddie. You know what I'm saying? Like, because you claim things that aren't true.
You're still going to be a piece of shit and not making no fucking money.
You're all about business, all right? You're about business. The Eddie Kingston that I know, the king, would fucking say, yo, I'm here to get my money. I'm going to do business.
Oh, and then you're going to shake my hand at a show and tell me, you know what, while you're looking up in the air like this, you know what, we can still do business together. Fuck you. We can't do fucking business together. You try to fucking stiff, and we're supposed to be fam. We're supposed to be fam. Fuck out of here.
Man, don't fuck with me. I will fucking kill you.
What are you going to do, swing on me? I dare you to swing on me. I'll fucking bite your nose right off your fucking face.
Buddy, I've been to prison. I ain't going back to jail for no fucking body.
Because if you think I'm going to jail, you're out of your fucking mind. I'll fucking stab you, and when the cops come, they better fucking kill me because I'm not going to jail. I'm not losing my freedom. You see what I'm saying? You better fucking kill me. I'm not losing my freedom. See, you got me all riled up. Fuck you, DJ.
Fuck you, Eddie.
There you go. That's what it is. Speaks for itself. I had a couple deaths over the, you know, time of, between my last show and now. One being Nelson Frazier Jr., who was known as Mabel, Viscera, Big Daddy V. I liked him best as Mabel, Men on the Mission. He was King Mabel. That was the shit right there. But, unfortunately, he passed. Trying to see exactly how old he was. I'm not doing the math on that, but not old at all. I mean, the dude was young, and you know, 43. You know, young. I mean, he was a big dude, and I think he passed of a heart attack along those lines. So you know, it's a shame. You hate to, you know, see people go like that. So rest in peace to that dude. Also had passed away actor and director, writer, Harold Ramis, and that dude was beyond fucking talented. I mean, that dude is an absolute legend when it comes down to it. I mean, when you think of the dude as like an actor and shit, you're like, oh, well, you know, he's been in a shitload of movies. But, you know, he was never portrayed as, like, the main character. So a lot of people would overlook, you know, his actual role or what his worth was because, you know, he was one of the guys in Ghostbusters. Oh, he was one of the guys in Stripes. He was one of the guys in this. He was one of the guys in that. But to know that this motherfucker co-wrote Meatballs, Animal House, Caddyshack, Stripes, Ghostbusters, Back to School, Caddyshack 2, Ghostbusters 2, Groundhog Day, Analyze This, fucking, yeah, I mean, that motherfucker's a genius. And then on top of that, directed fucking Caddyshack and Groundhog Day and Analyze This and The Office, the TV show, and, you know, produced a bunch of shit. Dude wrote, directed and produced fucking Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day is one of the fucking best fucking comedies I ever seen because, I mean, just concept-wise, it didn't have to be sticky. It didn't have to be like, you know, the slapstick comedy. But just the premise on it alone was just fucking genius on how, you know, just how well put together that was. And, you know, the concept overall was just genius. So, I think that shit's fucking off the chain. Obviously, you know, everybody's seen the tribute that, you know, someone did out there. It's like the cartoon of the Ghostbusters. And then they got, you know, Ramis's, his character coming out of the, you know, whatever they call that fucking ghost trap thing and shit. And they're waving to him and shit. So that's off the hook, man. I thought that was really cool. But, yeah, I mean, to be able to do that amount of stuff, like I said, he kind of flew under the radar because he doesn't get the credit of like a Scorsese's or the even like a Ben Stiller who does a whole bunch of different shit like that. The legendary movies like I just listed off, man. I mean, people, you know, go into back in the day and if you look at those movies, man, that is fucking consistent shit right there. That is consistent as a motherfucker because you're talking about writing, fucking Animal House in 78, Meatballs in 79, Caddyshack in 80, Stripes in 81, Ghostbusters in 84, Back to School fucking 86. You know what I mean? Other movies in there too, but I'm listing like the fucking killers, you know what I mean? And that shit is just insane. I mean, to be able to just write one after another, hit after hit after classic after, I mean, these shits are in the annals as some of the best old fucking 80s comedies. And, you know, even, you know, late 70s, early 70s, he was doing National Lampoon shit, writing shit for that, you know, and doing a National Lampoon Vacation movie, and, you know, started that shit in 83, and you saw all the movies that came off of that as just stems off of what he, you know, created to begin with. So it's just, dude, tremendously talented, and, you know, rest in peace to that dude. So, what was he? Let me see. 69 years old, so he had some kind of shit. complications of autoimmune inflammatory vasculitis. I don't know, some kind of shit that kills motherfuckers. So, yeah, rest in peace to that dude. Like I said, infinitely talented. Speaking of Kevin Steen, I just looked up and saw this. Might as well, I guess I'll play this again.
I don't like that fat kid, though, the fucking Mr. Wrestler kid. I don't know. He went
Kevin
fucking ring.
Steen?
Yeah, I don't like Kevin Steen at all. Very bad attitude, very overrated.
Well, apparently the WWE doesn't feel he's completely overrated. Roderick Strong and Kevin Steen reportedly have NXT tryout matches or tryout camp on March 24th to March 26th. So if they impress enough, maybe they can get NXT deals. That's kind of what they're looking at. Surprises me. It really does. Just because they're so heavy on physique and Kevin Steen's not. So I don't know. I mean, that's just, you know, like I said, one of those surprising things. And I mean, if he doesn't make it, I mean, maybe, you know, you hear another one of these.
My dad, I think if he, at that point in time, if he could have went back in time, like, he was so disgusted with me, I think if he could have went back in time and, like, not fucked my mom for me to be born, he would have done that. He was so disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe some shit like this. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll have to see. I don't know if, you know, Sami Zayn was able to open any doors for him to get that going, or, you know, this was just because of his popularity on the indies or whatever. I don't know. It'd be pretty interesting to see if he actually does get signed. That would be a shock to me, honestly. Just really more comes down to the physique. I mean, I know, you know, as far as promo and all that, the dude can talk, and he could definitely you know, garner interest and following and everything, but, you know, how much further does that go? Let me see. And the other day I saw this fat bitch. I walked in Walmart, and I'm in there getting some shit, and over by the toothpaste, and that's where I was going. I look, and there's three fat bitches, and they're sitting in the, standing in the aisle. If there was chairs, they'd be fucking sitting. I guarantee fucking to you, they'd be sitting if there was chairs. This fat bitch has her arm pushed, like, where the toothpaste is on this fucking shelf. She has her arm, like, smushing all the shit to the back of the shelf where it's not, it's like gone. And she just got her arm leaning on that shit like it was made for her, and that toothpaste was just fucking holding her spot. I didn't even know how to react to that shit. I just looked like, you, I mean, this is some shit. I don't fucking know. That shit was remarkable. Just motherfuckers never stop amazing me in that fucking store and in life in general, but, you know. The NFL is talking about enforcing a penalty where anybody who will be caught saying the N-word on the field
would be penalized 15 yards. I don't know where the fuck this came from. I don't know how you would even enforce this. I think it would be hilarious. Like, you know, I don't know how they would announce that. Like, N-bomb on the offense, 15-yard penalty, repeat first, you know. I don't know how to fuck, I don't know how exactly they would enforce that. Everybody's got fucking helmets on, so the motherfucker's got to be, like, staring at the ref, yelling that shit, like Kramer from Seinfeld. That's the only way I can see that shit, so, you know. Because how do you know? There's all these motherfuckers on the field with helmets on, and you hear the word, you're going to turn around and throw a flag? Who said it? Like, how exactly would you even make the fucking penalty there? And then is that going to turn into more of this ninja bullshit? Because I am dead set against people using ninja in replacement for nigga. I hate it. Fucking hate it, hate it, hate it. You're obviously trying to go for something, and then you use it in the same context, but then you act like that shit's cool. And I've seen people of all colors doing that shit, and I don't appreciate it. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Because as far as I'm concerned, that's just as fucking, I'd say that's more fucking racist. Because it's something that is black that you're now relating to the same thing. You know goddamn well, if a redneck walked into a place that had a lot of black people in it and said, all these fucking ninjas in here, there'd be a fucking problem, because that shit, you know, he's fucking relating to something black and stereotyping and saying that shit. So I think when people convert that to that just for the sake to try to be more PC, the shit sounds gay and more racist and ridiculous at the same time. So personally, I don't fucking like it. I think it's corny as shit. And if you're saying some shit that doesn't have any racial hatred behind it, and it's just your way of expressing something, I don't find it racist. That's why I just don't see that big of a deal with the word. I mean, you give the word power when you consider it racist. You know what I'm saying? Like, if someone could yell so many different things, like I just said about the word ninja. If it was some racist fucking redneck and he put a little hate behind it, you go, that motherfucker. You know what I mean? But if it's a whole group of people, oh, yo, my ninja, that all of a sudden that shit's okay. You know what I'm saying? I think it's the same way with any word. You give it power and you say, you can't say that. Everyone's offended now. Fuck that. I know you didn't mean anything, but you said the word, and that's like a trigger word. It's like when I tell my dog fucking apples, he kills anything he sees. That's what I heard the word. That's it. It's on now. I know you were smiling. I don't give a fuck. You know, like that type of, I hate that fucking mentality. I hate it. You could completely fucking erase the effectiveness of anything if you don't react to it. That's, you know what I mean? And I know people like, oh, well, now they're just supposed to say whatever they want. Yeah, because, you know what I mean? Fuck them. If they're racist, you're going to know they're fucking racist beyond whatever word is coming out. And if not, if they don't mean no fucking harm, stop looking for harm in your fucking life. You know what I mean? I just think it's retarded. So anyway, and I don't mean to hurt the feelings of retards out there that might be listening to my show. I mean, some people think only retards listen to my show, but I disagree. let me see. What the fuck? What else do I got? All right, you know what? Let me take another song break. I almost didn't put a song up tonight because I, you know, had all these clip things to play. I'm going to take another song break, come back, talk about some more shit, and I think, like, my last, like, sizable topic. And, yeah, and then just go from there because, like I said, not too much wrestling to talk about, so I'm just play this track. Come back.
Crazy. Come on. You know what? When you said that last time, I was kind of tripping, right? But now, you're right. I am crazy. But you know what else? I don't give a fuck.
Check it out. Is it money or women? Money beginning, present ending, like I make a million. I'm not getting off offended. This is my life, it's been so offended. Hell down, rather be buried than be worried if in hell down. My game plan to be trained there. Military run of a
family. That's my family. God is all. Before we fall into insanity, I'm making a point to make my beat pump and roar like drop some shit. Daddy, stupid bitch, it's your sight. Cause niggas wanna get it on, let's fight. I got some niggas in my clique that make they motherfucking dogs tight now. Cause niggas wanna get it on, let's fight. I got some niggas in my clique that make they motherfucking dogs tight. Go, niggas wanna get it on, let's fight. I got some niggas in my clique that make they motherfucking jaws tight now. Go, niggas wanna get on, let's fight. I got some niggas in my clique that make they motherfucking jaws tight.
You gotta snap some collars and let them motherfuckers know.
You know me.
Out, come on.
The love's been lost, the gloves is off your finger. What side you trying to be on? Barrel of the trigger. A gang of niggas talking the talk, but ain't walking the straight line. They trying to hide behind the one time. Fuck me and scaring you constantly with security. I ain't afraid of whatever you faggots try to do to me. Shoot at me, try to corner me orderly. Try to get at me, flipping like fake identity. Sticking it to my enemy. And how you running for your motherfucking lives? Till they put me in a courtroom, fighting for mine. The only reason I got foes, they used to be friends. When niggas mumble under they breath, I'm under their skin. So then, I pray for the strength and handle what my city brings. Better stand for something or you're bound to fall for anything. The pitfalls, the potholes, I spit foes that generate straight crack sales. We got those. One hitter, quitter, split a nigga like an embryo. Bring it to your crib, to your kids, to your video shoot. Give me the loot, my dudes all paid up. The half-ass getting racked. Packs sprayed up. You say what? Speak up, punk. I can't hear you. You're transparent. Reynolds rap. I'm seeing clear through. Pray for my downfall. Talk like hoes. Mr. Rack back the cage and kicking the dough. And motherfuckers try to say I couldn't rap no more. Like one monkey don't stop the show. Let's go, go, go.
Yeah. Another thing that was from the Tupac. What the fuck was that shit called? God damn it, rap phenomenon from years ago. That was a mixtape they did. If you never heard it, get that shit immediately. If you can't find it, fucking hit me up. I'll try to hit you up with it or find a way to hit you up with it. There is one of the best fucking mixtapes ever. It's just all Tupac shit, you know, mixed with other dudes, you know, verses and shit on it, you know, like to make it sound like collaborative tracks and, you know, collab tracks, I should say. And, you know, different cats beats and shit on it, but it's just fucking thorough. That album is fucking crazy, crazy fucking mixtape. But, yeah, I just remembered it the other day, and I've been rocking that shit for a couple weeks now, again. But, yeah, like I said, I've been getting crazy into somebody that posted, I forget if it's Rory or who it was. Somebody online, you know, one of the wrestlers and shit, had posted something about C.T. Fletcher. And I started looking into this dude, and the dude is fucking, he's one of my favorite motherfuckers on the planet now. So just hugely inspirational. I'm definitely going to be, you know, talking a lot more about that dude in upcoming weeks and stuff like that. I'm going to, you know, put some clips up of him, you know, next week I'll do a little more talking about him. But that's the motherfucker right there. I mean, that dude is off the fucking chain. So yeah, we'll get into that a little bit more next week. And speaking of that dude too, dude that actually got a chance to train with him on an occasion, and a guy who I've been, you know, planning on having on for a while now, and he's had, you know, crazy schedule, been all over the place, but Luke Hawks will be on in 2 weeks. I'll have that dude on 2 weeks from tonight. It's going to be a great interview and stuff. And yeah, man, look forward to talking to that dude. Anyone know him from way back? Altar Boy Luke Hawks, you know, more known now for his huge fucking arms and shit. And yeah, that dude's he's on some real shit, so it's gonna be interesting to, you know, talk to him and get some stories about all the different things he's been through, which is quite a bit over the years. So I look forward to that. All right, the other big thing was definitely that had happened was this Axel Rotten John Zandig thing. Now, you know, years ago, Zandig did the shoot, and, you know, three-part, you know, couple hours, you know, each thing, long-ass shoot, you know, released in three parts, awesome fucking thing. I could listen to Zandig talk for fucking years, so I wish you'd just keep putting them out, and fucking just randomly commenting on shit that happens, but he's just not that into it anymore. But anyway, here was the initial thing that Zandig said about Axel Rotten. Axel Rotten apparently just now heard it. You know, it's been 2 years old, but this is the original thing that he ended up hearing because someone clipped it and put it on YouTube.
I got fucked by him, you know that.
You got the reach around finally.
Yeah, the reach.
The reach around.
Somebody was shooting on me in the ring over there. I think it was that fucking pig, fucking Axel Rotten, pointing up, saying names up there, and he made some kind of fucking comment about John. Who the fuck's that? Like, why is that name up there? Somebody told me that that was
what
said.
What show was that at? The thing that Francine did, they had that Q&A.
Oh, the Q&A.
Didn't he show me something like that?
During the Q&A.
You fat fucking low-life wannabe cab-driving motherfucker. Axel Rotten, you were a piece of shit fucking 10 years ago. You're a fucking piece of shit now. You're a fucking scumbag. You came in my fucking building in fucking Sewell at the soccer arena. You watched a couple of young boys go out there and kick some ass. The match was so fucking good, you got fucking scared because you couldn't top it and snuck out the fucking back door, you fucking pussy. Where the fuck you think your name belongs? Up on the fucking taxi cab, you fucking goof. Smack you right upside your fucking fake blonde fucking head.
Yeah, so I'll comment more about this as we go, but I want to play Axel's response to this, hearing this finally.
I just saw this video on YouTube, and I don't know how old it is, so I don't know the context, but the thing is, it's John Zandig, the former owner of CZW, bashing me, and I've been clear about my feelings about John Zandig, and it is nothing personal. But he decided to get personal. I looked around the building, you know, and I saw the names up there like Sabu and Terry Funk. And then I saw John Zandig. Are you telling me that John Zandig belongs in the same Hall of Fame as a guy like Terry Funk? And then he had to go on to personally attack me. Yeah, Zandig, after wrestling, you know, I did go out and get a regular job because I had to support myself. And you make fun of that. Well, I guess that's not what you do. Because since you ran CZW and put yourself over because you're a shitty worker, a piece of shit that used to sit in the front of ECW dressed up like the Ultimate Warrior to try to get booked, the biggest fucking mark that ever got in the business, I'm going to get personal with you. I'm not hard to find. You want to settle this between me and you, you punk-ass bitch? Let's do it for real. Fuck putting up the ropes. Fuck all this pro wrestling shit. You want to get in a ring with me? You want to go one-on-one till one of us taps out? That's fine. Because I will beat your fucking ass, John Zandig. I ain't never said nothing about you personally, other than the fact that you had to start CZW because ECW wouldn't book your untalented ass.
All right, so the first thing I have to comment on is the dude needs to post videos on his own website, started with a buffer of the fans chanting his name, which I don't know where he found that, because I mean, I guess ECW fans at some point where he was just super over, but I just don't remember him being that over where there was a massive amount of fans just chanting his name. Apparently that did happen, and they had a, you know, some audio of it, which kind of shows you that the indie fans can be goaded into, or, you know, ECW fans can be goaded into cheering loudly for anything, you know, if steered the right direction. But also, if you try to hear the word asshole instead of Axel, you can do it. And then after that, that's all you'll hear every time you listen to that. But anyway, number two, the dude is blowing up the entire time he's doing this. So he's breathing heavy as shit, as if this is fucking difficult for him to begin with. This is physically difficult for him to be sitting down and talking. He's blown up. And then to his actual initial comment of Zandig doesn't belong on the fucking the Arena Hall of Fame type situation, he seems to have it completely confused and think it's some form of ECW Hall of Fame, which it's not. Which is what it is an Arena Hall of Fame. Now, the Arena would have fucking died and been a fucking nothing but a memory of what ECW did if it wasn't for John Zandig. John Zandig went in there in 2001, in the end of 2001, December, and did Cage of Death 3. And then from there on out, continued to run shows there up until the Arena, you know, quote unquote, closed. But, you know, obviously DJ had taken over at some point. But the things that he did in that arena and making it CZW's arena continued the legacy of that arena being something where it would have just clearly died. So as far as that arena goes, he ran more shows in the arena than ECW ever did. Why wouldn't his fucking name belong on there? Who the fuck else's name would belong there? And then, you know, to go the route of the Terry Funk and the Sabu and this and this and this, I don't care what anybody says. And I would go out on a limb and say that his match, his no-rope barbed wire match against Lobo, was still the best no-rope barbed wire match I've ever seen. I enjoyed that match far more than I did the Terry Funk Sabu. I'm sorry. It was fucking amazing for that type of wrestling to go on in that arena and to be what it was and to have the aura that CZW had at the time. I mean, you look at the different things that they did over the time in there and what Cage of Death in the arena became. You can't hold a candle to that. You know, and you could be these diehard ECW fans that won't let go of the fucking past and the history. And yes, ECW paved the way for a lot of things that CZW ended up doing. However, I don't see where that makes any fucking difference. I think it still comes down to fucking CZW making an enormous mark on, you know, independent wrestling as a whole. And the amount of careers that were launched coming out of CZW, going back to my earlier point, and as I said, what they meant to that arena when ECW went away because they didn't survive anymore, and CZW outlasted them in the terms of longevity. So all this ECW loyalty, all this nothing else matters, and everyone's a fucking backyarder because they didn't show up in that brief period of time where people, you know, hit a niche audience and, you know, everybody made them their little superstar circle. But there are guys who outdid it, and there is not a chance in hell that Zandig isn't overall a better entertainer and hasn't done what he does better than Axel Rotten by leaps and leaps and fucking bounds. There's no fucking way. I mean, Axel's still doing what he's doing. No one gives a shit. I mean, if he's that delusional where he thinks people give a shit, it's him and fucking Balls Mahoney up against who's another guy who, you know, they fucking back and forth. Oh, I'll never fucking tag with him again. I'll never tag with him again. Oh, that guy fucked me. Oh, that guy fucked me. Okay, we're tagging on the such and such. They're tagging up to fight Matt Tremont and fucking Too Tough Tony. So, everybody fucking line up, get your fucking tickets, and make sure that, you know, when you, all the people who are there at this fucking ECW fucking reunion 2014, you know, the extreme reunion fucking bullshit, let them know, like, on your way in, like, what match you're paying to see. Because I cannot, in any good state of mind, believe that people are actually paying, like, the draw is Axel Rotten and Balls Mahoney. Like, you could actually watch, like, you know, and I'm not trying to just completely turn this on Balls, but watch, like, New Jack and Balls when they're fucking yelling at each other at that shoot and tell me that fucking Balls doesn't look like an absolute crackhead. Fucking, and Axel's fucking the dude that had whatever fucked up incident where he left one of those shows and crashed his fucking car and fucked his shit up. I mean, these dudes are just notorious fucking drug addicts, and they want to criticize people who actually ran a company. To be a wrestler within a company that did well, I mean, that's not all your success. Like, that's not your fucking, that's not your ball, you know what I mean? But Zandig to do what he did, and to say that all he did was put himself over is a retarded statement, too, because it's not like Zandig had a fucking 3-year run as champion or any bullshit like that. I just really only had it, I think, for the short period where him and Wifebeater kind of traded it off when they were doing the, you know, I think they were doing, like, Mexico and then Germany. And, like, they traded the belt back and forth more or less as, like, a, I guess to make the shows bigger as they toured or whatever. I'm pretty sure that was the only time that Zandig had it. It was, like, that short little transition periods where they were more or less taking their shit on the road and doing their shit across different countries, and it makes it that much bigger when titles change hands. So I think that's what they were doing. And I could be wrong on that because, you know, I was only watching tapes, and it's been years since I've watched any of those tapes. So, but I had all the, you know, Zandig and BJW and all that stuff. But, so that's number one. And then he did another one. Apparently he wasn't done. And I did another one here. So we'll listen to this. More chanting.
What's up, fellas? Wrestling fans. People that like to start shit. And kayfabe writers worldwide. Axel Rotten back at you again. The only reason I'm doing all these videos is because there's a lot of shit I want to clear the air about. You know, the more I thought about it, and I thought about this whole, you know, Axel Rotten, John Zandig situation, with the new, I don't know how to put this to make the wrestling fans understand it, but the new outlook on life that I have and all the trials and tribulations that I've been through, I'm not out there, you know, looking to cause trouble where there should be none. But in this case, I truly feel there should be some, because from what I saw of that video, that guy just blatantly attacked me for no reason. Let's put this in context. I looked around the ECW Ring of Honor, and I saw names of guys that helped build ECW and helped build that company. And then I saw John Zandig, and I said, who is John Zandig? I mean, and point being, I don't know who he is and what he's ever done. All I've ever seen is I've looked up videos on YouTube, and I've seen him wrestling in backyards, jumping off of U-Haul trucks. And to me, I'll say it again. He's a guy that wanted to be in ECW so bad and couldn't get in because he sucked. So now that I think about it, John Zandig, you're nothing more than a glorified backyard wrestler. And if you want some of a real pro wrestler, me, Axel Rotten, a guy who has wrestled for WWE, WCW, World Class, USWA, Global Wrestling Federation, Big Japan, FMW, New Japan, if you want to wrestle a guy, Puerto Rico, a guy that has wrestled all over the world, a real, legitimate professional wrestler, not to mention ECW and all the other companies. Let's go, man. Let's do this. And I'm not talking pro wrestling. I'm talking put on those little gloves like Brock Lesnar wears when he's doing his UFC fighting. And let's go out there and have a fight, if that's what you want to do, because that seems what you want to do. I'm open to discussion and negotiation. You know, I'm a grown man. But, hey, you want to fight? Axel Rotten's not backing down from a fight. Glenn Danzig, I mean, John Zandig. So if you want some, bitch, come get some, motherfucker, because I'm ready for you.
This dude has to be just as high as he's ever been in his life. It's fucking ridiculous. I mean, if he honestly thinks that Zandig would not beat the living shit out of him, it's appalling. Doesn't he have, like, palsy or some shit? Doesn't he have, like, a lower version of what Jim Ross has? I think he does. I'm not even trying to be funny, but... why in the fuck would you be out there challenging people to fight? And it's funny because, like Zandig said, he's been in his building and then knocked out and decided not to work the show at some point. So to say that you looked up at this fucking banner and said, I don't know who he is. I know I've seen some videos of blah, 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 blah. What the fuck are you talking about? You know exactly who the fuck he is. And it's just, it's ridiculous. And to, you know, continue with this backyard this and backyard that, like, dude, you know what the fuck he's done. He's no fucking backyard wrestler. And it's just ridiculous. I can't use that word enough because that's what it is. And Axel, he actually did a podcast. I didn't clip that shit because I would have had to upload the whole whatever it was, hour and a half or two, which maybe I'll do that for next week or something, just to keep this going a little bit longer. But did a podcast I listened to, and at some point he got into the Zandig thing again and went back to the backyard thing. Amongst it, he says that Zandig couldn't fight him because he'd be trying to drag him to the top of a rider truck to throw him off of it. And Axel would just punch him in the face. So at that point, that sounds completely kayfabe bullshit that he actually thinks the dude's going to try to drag him to the top of a truck or some nonsense like this. Obviously, he's trying to just get himself attention, which obviously he's getting. I have a hard time understanding exactly what he thinks the outcome of this is going to be, because he's just making himself look like a fucking fool. And I don't know. At the time, I'd say his value in ECW and his whole claim to fame where he's putting himself over as such a legitimate professional wrestler and all this, I think that's just right place and right time. I think if you put any fat pig who could fucking bleed into that spot would be full. And then that would be that. That doesn't make you the most talented guy at what you did at the time. You just happen to be the guy that they used to do what you were doing. There's nothing that makes that guy more valuable to something than like a John Zandig. If John Zandig was in the right place at the right time and got put into the spot where Axel was, then Axel would be the guy that wasn't getting booked there. But it wasn't even the same type of wrestler, honestly. I mean, Axel was more of a hack and slash, fucking carve and cut, and fucking, you know, hit with fucking object guy than Zandig was. I don't know, man. It's fucking insane. At some point, which I definitely will clip that, at least that line, Axel said that someone had told him he is the Cal Ripken of professional wrestling. I'm going to let that settle with you for a minute. Cal Ripken of professional wrestling. Yep. He also said
he's an artist, and the canvas is where he uses to do his art, and each move that's done is another stroke of the paintbrush, and he can paint any picture he wants in that ring. This dude thinks he's motherfucking Dean Malenko or fucking Eddie Guerrero or some shit. This dude seems to think he's got a lot of creativity and fucking his matches all look crazy and different and fucking versatile. There ain't shit versatile about Axel Rotten. I don't know who the fuck he's been watching. He must have got his hand on some serious heavy shit, and he's watching other motherfuckers' matches going, you see what the fuck I just did in that match? That was amazing. And he's watching, like, somebody else wrestling. But, you know, shit is blurred, so he just sees, like, shapes. The only thing I can think of. Or maybe he like, did, like, one of those creator wrestlers on a video game, and he's got a really cool move set and shit on that. Because what happened in reality to me is nothing fucking impressive. There's nothing that impresses me about Axel Rotten. Actually, you know, John Gray, who I like quite a bit, he does refereeing and stuff over there, you know, mid-South or Midwest, whatever you want to call it. You know, he trained with the Rage Dojo and all that, with Drake and all them. And, you know, he's a good dude. He does the real side of wrestling thing. There is a point where he wanted me to help and do the show with him too, you know, and, you know, pop on from time to time and, like, kind of, you know, co-host with him or whatever. And I was going through a rough time, so it was really leaning where it was going to be hard for me to do because I was just fucking wasted on such a regular night basis where it was just I didn't feel as bad if I fucked around and screwed my own show up, but I didn't feel good about doing it with somebody else's. So I was leaning in the direction of just not feeling right about doing it because, you know, as the nerves might have kicked up and I started to dwell on it, I would just drink more. And I knew by the time I showed up on his show to even try to, you know, do some kind of conversation or whatever, it would probably just be a train wreck. And I didn't want to be, you know, I didn't want to be the cause of, you know, it being fucked up. So I was leaning towards not doing it. And then it came down to also, well, the guest that they were going to have, and the guest was going to be Axel Rotten. And that, I think, was the final straw, because I even told him, you know, when I decided not to do it, I said, I honestly don't have a single thing to ask Axel Rotten. I don't, like, there's nothing for me to say to that dude. Like, I can't add anything to that interview. Like, you know what I mean? And that was, well, you know, that was probably a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago. I don't even know. Time passed quick. But so, you know, it was that long ago. But, like, I've never really had any type of respect for Axel Rotten as far as his, you know, his worth. So, I don't know. That's just me. But dude's off the fucking chain as far as, you know, what he's like. Definitely going to listen to more of his bullshit podcast. He did one of those moves where he got some fucking British dude that I don't know where the fuck he came from as far as being, like, an easy. He sure as shit didn't get some down-home fucking ECW fan. He got some dude that's like, oh, Axel, what's your thoughts on John Zandig? It's like, get the fuck out of here. What the fuck? So, I don't know, man. It's just funny as hell. And I got to listen to it for fucking comments like I'm the fucking Cal Ripken of professional wrestling, man. I can't miss that fucking shit. So anyway, I think that's all about I'm going to do. About all I'm going to do. All about, you know, whatever. Definitely a plethora of horrible fucking podcasts out there, and I have continued to find more and more of them as I go. I'm not gonna just, you know, put them out there like that. However, one of those podcasts that is not horrible out there that you should definitely be checking out is the Sports Den. They're on now. They're talking a lot of different things over there. And, you know, all things sports. I also heard that we're close to re-signing Anquan Boldman, so I'm very happy about that. And definitely check out Stern Nation as well. They do their thing on Saturdays now. You know, everything Howard Stern, which, you know, good show. So I think that's about all I got. Let me see if I got anything to play out. I think I'm just going to hit the outro, and then, I'll check you out next Wednesday. I'm going to have a lot more to talk about. I'll get into a lot more different things. Honestly, I'm not really into the WWE product right now, so I'm not even going to get too heavy into it. You know, the Shield and the Wyatts are doing their thing. Just not too much of it has really drawn me in as far as the product. I didn't watch the pay-per-view over the weekend. That was one more thing. I watched that UFC bullshit. Ronda Rousey just, like, kneed the bitch in the liver, and she dropped, and that was that. It was like a Tyson fight, you know what I mean? Just, but without, like, a real cool-looking knockout, like, no one got their fucking head blown off. It was just, like, knee put in the right place, chick dropped, match over. Motherfuckers actually paid for that shit, so. Yeah, it was that thing. Actually, I think I caught some of the Wyatt Shield match, and that was really good, but I just... not really interested in too much of the WWE product right now. So, you know, I mean, maybe I will buy WrestleMania, but, you know, time is ticking and I'm getting closer and closer to it and just really still not giving a fuck. I mean, they're doing Undertaker, Brock Lesnar. Like, I zipped through Raw and like a half hour, I fast-forwarded through the whole show for the most part. It's like a waste of time for me to even try to watch it because I know I'm not going to care about it or be interested in it. And it's not that, like, they're doing everything wrong and I have such terrible criticism about it. It's just, like, sometimes it just doesn't draw me in. So, whatever. You know what I mean? Everybody has their times for shit. And, yeah, if it's entertaining you, great. And I'm sure it's entertaining quite a, you know, bit of people. They're a multi-fucking-million-dollar company. Is what it is, but I've always gone through phases with the WWE. I far prefer the indies, and even that, I go through phases where I watch more wrestling, and then I go through phases where I watch a little bit, you know, and yeah, kind of probably on one of those light phases, but, you know, do what you got to do, and I didn't get the network either, because it's, again, not really feeling, you know, watching tons and tons of wrestling. And then, to be honest with you, anything you want, you can really find on the internet. I don't need a goddamn fucking network app to fucking watch any of that stuff. It's all available if you look for it. So, that's what's up. Talk to you guys next week. I don't know. I don't think I got a guest or anything like that. But, like I said, 2 weeks from tonight, Luke Hawks. Definitely going to talk some more about C.T. Fletcher and the different things, and that dude's got me fucking hyped like a motherfucker. All right, so check y'all next week. Peace.
They fuck you with the cell phone.
There's a cat in the house. Cat in the house. Let's get to the cat in the house.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Kill them all. Back on top. Think about it. Fuck Hulk Hogan.
These motherfuckers are geniuses.
Keep it up, my nigga.
What the fuck? But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.